Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to another edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I am your host, Andy Wales, and tonight we're back together. The band has got back, and I promise there won't be any singing, not like last week. I promise there will not be any singing tonight. Yet Mo Chacha is back by my side. Good evening, Mo, and it's great to have you back.
Good evening, actually. You say that, I was about to burst into a Staines song, which goes, it's been a while, but never mind, maybe for another time. But yeah, it has been a while, hasn't it, Andy?
It has been too long.
Yeah, good 6-7 weeks since we were last together on the Pro Wrestling Index. But reunited we are, the band is back together, and long may it continue.
Yeah, we are back because of great balls of fire, and I'm sorry, but nobody can make that sound sinister, only Paul Heyman. But we will be getting to that, because yes, tonight we are going to be giving you a full rundown of the card of Great Balls of Fire, the Raw exclusive pay-per-view coming this weekend on the WWE Network. But before we get things started on breaking that card down, bits and pieces have been coming out more about around this Mae Young Classic, the women's tournament that's due to be screened beginning at the end of August on the WWE Network. Now, it has been announced that it's Jim Ross and Lita who are going to be calling the action, and I personally think that's a great call, although I'm not the greatest fan of Lita when she's on the microphone. Obviously, she is a legend from the women's division, but I think having the voice of Jim Ross there calling, it's going to pull all the hardcore fans in, and I think that's just an ideal appointment.
I would have said so, but Jim Ross actually commentated. I mean, as you know, Jim Ross returned to the WWE in limited capacity as the commentator for the WWE's UK shows. So obviously, they tape a show here every couple of months, and their most recent one was in Norwich back in May. Well, a couple of shows in Norwich. And, you know, he'll continue to do that with Nigel McGuinness. But what he'll also be doing is, as you say, co-commentating on these shows with Lita. But he also has an outside project. So he commentated on New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is the number one promotion in Japan. They ran a couple of shows last weekend in California in the United States, and he put in probably the worst commentary performances of his career. He was abysmal. He didn't have a clue what was going on, forgetting names, getting people mixed up, didn't know the names and moves, just seemed unprepared, which is very unlike Jim Ross. And so after that, it got me concerned that maybe on the Mae Young Classic, where again he's going to be calling matches for a bunch of women who he's very unfamiliar with, maybe hasn't even heard of, how good a job will he do? So That's something that I'm a bit worried about. But, you know, Jim Ross is still the greatest commentator of all time. And if he does make that little bit of effort to research the ladies that will be taking part in the tournament, then, as you say, you know, he should certainly be a good addition to that commentary lineup. I mean, this is a tournament that will kick off in the next week or so, as we recall this, in terms of the tapings. And then they will air in blocks of four on the WWE Network, starting with the first four episodes to be uploaded on demand onto the WWE Network August 28th. The following four will be uploaded about a week or so later, and then there will be a live finale, which will air on the 12th of September. So not too dissimilar to the Cruiserweight Classic, which was a big hit on the WWE Network last summer, and this is an attempt to sort of replicate that, but for the women's division.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the timing of all that. I do wonder whether the fact that it's going to be taped and edited and everything like that, I think any indiscretions will be ironed out along the way. I'm sure WWE won't allow, you know, a production to be put out with lots of errors and whatnot in there, and I trust that was probably just a one-off for Jim Ross, because, like you say, it's most unlike him to be unprepared and befuddled by what's happening in the ring.
Oh yeah, definitely. But no, I mean, this should be a good tournament. I mean, it will have 32 women from all around the world, and the WWE has already named about 15 or so of the 32. So, I mean, as we get closer to the shows appearing on the network, I'll talk a little bit more about them. But a couple of the names immediately to watch out for are Kairi Hojo, who's known in the tournament as Kairi Sane. And she's a fantastic talent from Japan, one of the most gifted female wrestlers in the world, and a major acquisition for the WWE with her recent signing, which I did, I think, talk about on the pod a couple of months ago. And then there's another lady that will be appearing, known as Jazzy Gaber, who is a German female wrestler, and she's competed as the alpha female in the UK and around Europe. She's got a very distinctive look. Also competes in MMA, not the kind of person you want to get on the wrong side of. She really looks like a legit badass, and you know, she will certainly be one to stick out from the rest of the pack as part of this tournament. And the final name I'll mention is a young girl from Australia called Toni Storm, who is the partner of the former WWE United Kingdom champion Tyler Bate. So Toni Storm, you know, is a very, very good talent, has been wrestling around the UK, based at Wolverhampton for a good year to 2 years now, and you know, very, very capable female wrestler. So already some good talents that have been lined up for the show, and for the tournament rather, and you know, more big names will be announced in the coming weeks. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think if the Cruiserweight Classic is anything to go by, it could be quite the interesting tournament. And as Mo said, as we do get closer to that tournament actually kicking off on the network, we will talk a bit more about that and give you a bit more of a look into it, because I'm sure some of them women might end up on your NXT shows. So yeah, it's a peak of the future, so to speak. But moving along, before we get to Great Balls of Fire, another slight diversion here, because on the SmackDown side of things, we've got the Battleground pay-per-view coming up in a couple of weeks' time. More couple of matches starting to get booked for that one.
That's right, yeah. So we discovered that the Punjabi prison match, made famous by the Great Khali, is making its long-awaited return. I've sure been missing that one, so I'm really glad it's making a comeback. So that will feature Jinder Mahal as the WWE champion, defending his title against the former champ, Randy Orton. So, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit more detail and depth in a couple of weeks when we preview the show. That'll certainly be an interesting one in terms of how they can pull that one off and still make it a watchable contest. There's been the announcement of the Usos against the New Day in a tag team contest. They had a rap battle of sorts on this past week's Raw, where there was not so subtle reference to as part of that rap battle to one Xavier Woods, how can I put it, rendezvous with Paige, which is something that's well documented on social media. John Cena made his return to SmackDown as well this week, and he was interrupted by Rusev, and the culmination of that segment is that these two will have a flag match, so that those two are resurrecting their rivalry that took place on Raw over quite a period of time.
Yeah, about a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
And, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it was not longer than a year ago. That's correct, yeah. Wow, does time fly?
Yeah.
And then also just announced is AJ Styles, who won a Battle Royal for the number one contendership, the United States Championship held by Kevin Owens. So of all of those matches I've just talked about, that by far is the one that I'm most looking forward to, because these are two of the elite wrestlers on the planet. And, you know, if they're motivated to have an amazing match, then they will have an amazing match, and it will be one of the best matches of the year, full stop. So really eagerly awaiting that one.
Yeah, so the that card's taking shape, and again, you know, in the lead up to that event, we'll do a full preview and look ahead to that one. But let's get into the Great Balls of Fire, and I want to start at the top of the card, because I think there's nowhere else you can get going other than the main event, because I honestly, I can't wait till the end of towards the end of this show to talk to you about this. Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. If you ask me, you know, back, you know, 2-3 years, maybe fantasy opponents for Brock Lesnar, just about at the top of that list, if not at the top of it, would have been for me Samoa Joe. You know, someone who it's just a match I wanted to see. Perfect opponent, you know, similar sort of size, the believability, you know, the legitimacy, everything. And I really believed them two could put on a match, and we could have a great build and everything. And lo and behold, it's happened. It's not been a major pay-per-view, which is a slight disappointment. However, it's happening. It's for a title. And other than this past week, which I was really disappointed about with the split interview, and it was a disappointment for me, that one. Other than this past week on Raw, I think the build has been fantastic, and I have to congratulate WWE for the way that they've built it. You know, it feels like a big match. It really matters, and I just love the way that both camps have really put things across.
Oh, certainly. It's been one of the more effective builds for a match on a pay-per-view in quite a while, and I think the credit for that belongs to Paul Heyman, because, you know, he's somebody who obviously in terms of legitimately advising Brock Lesnar in terms of the storylines that he's involved in, and you know, the fact that they've put Samoa Joe over so strong, where, you know, Lesnar has come up, you know, second best to Samoa Joe on several occasions, whereas, you know, with other opponents in the past, he's, you know, treated them with contempt, and there's certainly not been any of that here. It helps the fact that Samoa Joe has, much like Lesnar, that kind of aura around him that suggests, you know, this is a legit tough guy. You know, he can really handle himself. A little bit like Taz used to have in his ECW days, and to an extent in his early days in the WWE. And those types of characters don't come along all that often these days. And when they do, then they, you know, are typically going to make for good opponents to Brock Lesnar, who obviously has legitimate credentials, having obviously been a former UFC heavyweight champion. So I'm glad that they didn't go and do something stupid like have Lesnar just flatten him week after week, treat him with contempt, treat him like he was not worth even bothering with. So they've really made Joe look like a credible threat, challenger, contender to Brock Lesnar for his Universal Championship. So that was absolutely what they needed to do. And, you know, it's easy to say it was obvious that they needed to book it that way, but how many times have we seen the same or similar types of scenarios where they do completely the wrong thing and they make one opponent look considerably weaker than the other for no good reason?
I think it's been refreshing that it's been built like a big fight, as all like, you know, like a legitimate sporting contest. You know, that sort of, you know, the boxing or the MMA, the big fight feel, it's been built like that. We've not had any soap opera storylines. It's purely two big physical, aggressive guys butting heads. And you've got that little psychology in there. I like that, you know, that Paul Heyman's building up right from the very beginning of all the credentials of Samoa Joe. And then the Samoa Joe thing of the playing them games, of taking out Paul Heyman to get Brock Lesnar, you know, wound up. And that, you know, this is what this is. It's two alpha males going head to head. You know, they're fighting and presented in that manner. It's quite refreshing nowadays. And I think they could follow this kind of a format a lot more often.
Yeah. I mean, I think with this type of, kind of, immovable object versus the irresistible force type of scenario that they've got here. It's not something they can do week in, week out with half the roster. But certainly, you know, you're quite right. It's something they can certainly do more often. And it's not something we see often enough. So, you know, they need to also spread it beyond just Brock Lesnar, because typically when they run these kind of bills where it's more of a sports feel than more of a sports entertainment feel, you know, it normally does involve Brock. So, I mean, I'd like to see it with extended to others as well. The build has been good, and I think that the match will play out really well as well. And, you know, I think it will be, a really, really good match. I don't think it'll be a classic match. I think they'll try to perform it in more of an MMA type style. And the one match I can liken it to is something that I think it will be similar to is a match that Samoa Joe had with Kurt Angle in TNA. I think it was, I don't think it was their original match, but there was a match I think they had in a cage, possibly at Lockdown. And they fought it in a very shoot style, UWFI style. I don't know if you remember Bushido from back in the day, but it was very much that kind of style match.
Well, this has almost been reminiscent, that first sort of head face to face between Lesnar and Joe was kind of reminiscent of the first time you saw Kurt Angle in TNA and Samoa Joe came out, you know, and the headbutt, and that was it. Yeah. And there are parallels here. And it's, like I said, you know, for me, it's quite refreshing to see the build-up to a fight presented in this manner.
Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, we see so many kind of typical,
Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, God, that whole stuff on this past week's Raw just bored me to tears. I mean, the Rollins promo as time goes by, I just get more and more tired and almost indifferent to the whole Bray Wyatt gimmick. It just, I mean, I always felt frustrated for him because I thought, okay, this is a guy that is held back by the fact the company is delivering a PG product. But, you know, the same can be said for a number of other talents, and they still get more mileage out of their characters and cut more effective promos than Bray Wyatt does. And he increasingly does nothing for me now. And,
no, it's the same promo every week. Yeah, he laughs. Yeah. He jumbles some mumbles and some garbage and gobbledygook, and it doesn't really make any sort of logical sense or anything. Pops on screen.
It gets very little reaction.
Yeah.
It's just fans boring. Just sit there on their hands. Yeah.
It really is boring now. And I think he's in absolutely desperate need of something, to the point where I'm thinking, do they even put him with Bo Dallas and just, you know, acknowledge their brothers or something? You know, have we come to that point in the road with his character? Because I just think the chance that they had to reignite him and maybe inject something new into him was when he was given the title, the WWE title, early in the year. And it got a massive pop at the time. And it's felt like that was it. That was the opportunity for a babyface turn. But they defied logic and still try to make him the heel, and Randy Orton, the guy who'd conducted this heinous plan behind his back, as the babyface, and it fell flat on its face. And I think Bray Wyatt's, you know, what he had left went with that program, I feel.
I agree, yeah. It's a character that just never has clicked within WWE. They've persisted with it. You know, they had the Wyatt family. And I think that's the only time before they had their several splits and then their reformations and then splits. You know, when they had that original group, I thought that was halfway towards being an effective group. When they had that feud with the Shield, they did some good stuff then. But really the last couple of years, you know, especially as he's been a singles performer for the bulk of that time, it really has gone nowhere fast. And you know, unfortunately, you've got to say that for much of his time since he returned from injury last year, the same could be said of Seth Rollins. You know, he had a memorable match with Triple H, despite having that serious knee injury at WrestleMania 3 months ago. But you know, since then, it's been a bit up and down for him. And now, this is a guy who was really the focal point of the WWE prior to his previous knee injury. So it's sad for him that his career is kind of floundered, relatively speaking. And I just think that this whole Bray Wyatt feud does, again, nothing for him, which is a shame because he had a little bit of momentum finally coming out of WrestleMania. And since then, it really hasn't happened, and I'd like to think that they will do something a bit more meaningful with him coming out of this match. So, I mean, in terms of the match itself, I'm not really looking forward to it. That said, I think it will be still a pretty good match, and I'd expect Rollins to win just because he's got far more talent than Bray Wyatt has, and he's potentially got more upside in terms of being an overact. So it just made no sense for me to have Wyatt win, unless they decided to prolong the program between the two, possibly up until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not interested in seeing more of these two going at it. I'd like to see Rollins move on to something more meaningful. So I'm hoping that he wins the match and moves on, and then Bray can, I couldn't care less what he does, to be honest.
Exactly. Rollins desperately needs something. Personally, I'd like to see Rollins and Finn Balor go head to head, be put together in a program based upon them two having a match at SummerSlam with the winner becoming the number one contender to the Universal Championship. Simple as that. You know, no sort of soap opera storyline or anything like that. Pure and simple sporting content, right? You know, here's a match, you two. The winner becomes number one contender. There's something on the line. You've got something to fight for, you know, and hopefully them two can, it, it puts them into a meaningful match, and it can bring the best out of each other.
Oh, totally, yeah. And, you know, Finn Balor's feud with, I can't remember his name now.
The Drifter, Elias Sampson. Is that even a feud?
Elias Sampson, yeah. So it shows you how much I care about him that I can't be bothered to remember his name. And, you know, the fact
can
that
have
they're
a feud
having.
With Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Preferably not on TV.
On the pre-show.
Yeah, so if we don't see it, it doesn't happen. But no, it's something that would be far more worthy of Rollins and Finn Balor to have those two going at it, you know, face versus face, just about who is the better man. Yeah. You know, it can be framed around that. And yeah. As I said, you know, they've got some unfinished business as well, you know, stemming from SummerSlam. It was SummerSlam last year, wasn't it?
So, exactly. So, yeah, do it. Go ahead, WWE. You can have that one for free.
I'm actually going back to Cho against Lesnar. So, in terms of predictions, then I actually predict an upset win for Samoa Joe. I'm actually predicting a title change.
Ooh, I don't expect a title change. I think this has been, you know, they put Joe over strong just to make it an interesting match so we can.
Temporary brain fart. I'm going with Lesnar winning the title.
You got excited.
Lesnar wins because we've got a fair idea where things are heading for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Which we'll come on to a bit later on.
We will come to that much later on, yeah.
But I think that Samoa Joe will have something coming out of that match which still gives him something to cling on to say, yes, I lost, but, you know, well, it was only because of such and such happening that it cost me the title.
Yeah, well, let's hope so anyway. Let's hope so. Let's quickly pick up what's due to be happening on the pre-show is Neville defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Akira Tozawa. A little bit of a shame that'll be on the pre-show because I really enjoy watching Neville in his heel character. He's great. And I do think these two will have a very good match, although I'm slightly perplexed as to quite what the end game is for the Cruiserweight division and Neville, and just, you know, who can they get that would seem plausible as a real threat to him? Because he really does feel such a strong character, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a shame in a way because Tozawa is actually one of the very, very best talents in the world. He's a hell of a worker. But you'd never know it watching 205 Live or Cruiserweights on Raw because he only gets to really show a fraction of what he's capable of. So he comes across as a very good wrestler, but nothing that's out of the ordinary. But in fact, he is out of the ordinary. He's an incredibly talented wrestler, very, very special talent. But as I say, he just gets very limited opportunities to show it. You know, Neville, again, is another guy who, like Tozawa, wrestled extensively in Dragon Gate in Japan. And these two over there, you know, pulled out some work, which was just out of this world. And it's a real shame how the Cruiserweight division has been booked, because after that early promise coming out of the Cruiserweight tournament last year, you know, we thought they were onto something. But the booking of this and placing it on Raw, it's just fallen flat on its face, and you know the reactions are almost non-existent, and it's a shame. That all said, though, I think they'll have a pretty good match. I don't think they'll be almost allowed to go out and have an amazing match, especially on the pre-show. So they'll be given maybe 10-12 minutes to go out and have a pretty good match, and you know, I think they'll pull something decent off, but. I think you're right. Neville, you know, he's likely to retain. You know, he's booked as a strong champion. Certainly comes across very well in that role. But as you say, where does he go from there? And, you know, the rest of the cruiserweight division isn't exactly stacked at this moment in terms of credible challengers. And do they really want to go back to Austin Aries so soon after that feud ended? Probably not. So that's certainly a dilemma for them. So that's why there is that possibility that Tozawa wins a belt under Titus O'Neil's tutelage, but I think that Neville retains and is more likely to drop the title at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I certainly don't expect Neville to be losing the title this weekend. It will be interesting going forward whether or not there's something looming on the horizon or whether someone to come in. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. What says you of the women's championship then? Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks. I think Alexa has really grown on screen, you know, since she's been moved up. I think they've handled her really well. The way that they handled her character. She's improving in the ring, but I feel like she's still fairly limited, and they've protected her quite well from that. So I've got to say more. I don't expect this to be anything like a classic, which is a shame because I think Sasha Banks is crying out to have a classic match. But what says you on the direction of the championship here? Because personally, I can't see it changing hands here.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've brought Sasha in just to fill a little bit of a gap, because I think ultimately they do want to go back to Alexa and Bayley, and that's why even in the build up to Bliss versus Banks in the last several weeks, Bayley still featured within that build, and indeed they were part of that tag match just on this past week's Raw. So I suspect that beyond the show, they'll go back to Bliss and Bayley, and possibly use that to feature at SummerSlam, and then have Bayley go over and win the title for a second time on that show. But you're quite right again. I mean, Bliss is coming across as a very credible champion. Not quite the worker that the likes of Charlotte and Sasha Banks are, but by no means looking out of place in the ring with the likes of Sasha and Bayley. So, you know, it's clear that they like their heel champions, because certainly in the last couple of years, you know, a lot of the key belts on the Raw side have been held most of the time by heels. And I think that there's a possibility that it might even go with a three-way at SummerSlam as well. But I just don't get the feel that they'll look to change the belt on this show. And if they do, as we've seen with this title in particular, they're not against using it for a TV title switch. We saw that several times with Charlotte. And so obviously with Charlotte losing on TV, only to then win it back on pay-per-view. So it's entirely possible that Sasha could even win the belt, lose it on TV, and then Alexa defends it at SummerSlam. But of all the options, I would suspect that Alexa Bliss retains.
Yeah, let's hope we don't start seeing that title getting flip-flopped week after week again like it was before, because it doesn't help anyone in the mix there, and especially not the title itself. Moving from the women's to the Intercontinental Championship then, The Miz defending here against Dean Ambrose. He's now got Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, his, what did he call them? The Miztourage, was it? Something like that?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
The job tourage or whatever, yeah.
The Miztourage.
The card tourage.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, I'm so tired of seeing this feud now between these two. It's been going on a while on Raw. It was before that, it was going on SmackDown. I don't expect a great match. I think Dean Ambrose desperately needs something, and the Miz. It's quite curious that the script that The Miz was feeding on Raw, you know, really tearing into Ambrose about, you know, how he was going to be the breakout star of the Shield, but didn't. I wonder whether there's people within WWE kind of really trying to sort of joust at him to see whether or not we get a reaction from Dean Ambrose and really get something from him, because I really feel he's been disappointing for quite a long time now. And again, I can't see the title changing hands anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, The Miz has certainly had a bit more momentum behind him over the last 12 months, and was certainly producing some pretty good work over on the SmackDown side prior to moving to Raw. And even since moving to Raw, hasn't quite lived up to the kind of levels he was delivering on SmackDown, but still has been decent. Whereas Dean Ambrose is just slightly above Bray Wyatt in the list of people that I'm becoming increasingly indifferent towards. And he's just a body on Raw now, you know, and he might come up with the odd half amusing line, you know, as part of his quirky character on Raw, but that's about the only redeeming factor he's got going for him. He's a very capable worker. You know, he's got some charisma, but certainly not fulfilling his potential whatsoever. We've been crying out for him to have a change of character, possibly turn heel, for months now on this pod. They still persist with him as a face. And I think that given the circumstances around this match, we certainly aren't going to see any kind of change in his character during or after this match. So I think that he'll probably have the bulk of the match, and then Miz will win it on the cheap and retain the title. I don't think it will be a great match. It might be a decent one, but that's about it. Miz will then hopefully move on and then defend that title at SummerSlam against somebody who's a bit more worthy, whereas Dean Ambrose can possibly disappear into the same pool of nothingness that Bray Wyatt can dwell in. I'm being a bit harsh tonight, am I?
No, you're not. You're really not. And that's the thing. I mean, it was a while back, and I found it really awkward to watch. And that was that live podcast between Stone Cold and Dean Ambrose. And it was kind of, I thought it was quite evident there that Dean Ambrose really kind of lacked a bit of depth to his character. And there was Stone Cold there kind of, you know, trying to give him some pointers to, you know, to really lay it in. And, you know, because I think he sees something in him, but maybe he doesn't see him pushing himself enough. And you could see him sort of pushing back. And it was kind of awkward to watch in a way, and you can see that he's kind of drifted along for so long, and it's a shame, because I think back to the Dean Ambrose character within the Shield, and it was a bit sort of a little bit wacky, but it was more, you know, that unstable thing that they put across. He did seem unstable in an aggressive way, whereas now it's just goofy and stupid. And I think back to the real turning point was probably a year and a half ago, where after the Royal Rumble, where Raw, where there was that snowstorm in America, and there was very few people were there, and, you know, and they had that thing of him walking everywhere in the snow, and for me that was the beginning of the end of his character. It was so goofy and it was ridiculous, and
also he had that feud with Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Which culminated in that match at WrestleMania last year.
Yeah,
and
it was awful.
Yeah. Brock clearly didn't see why he should take him seriously. Clearly didn't want to give him the time of day.
And Ambrose did nothing to make you think he should be taken seriously.
No, that's right, yeah.
That is the thing here, yeah.
That's right. And, you know, if you listen to the likes of Austin and Hogan and others, once they get over to a certain level, they're very protective of their characters. They don't believe in just jobbing to any old person. They don't think that, okay, just now that I'm a megastar, that by jobbing to Joe Bloggs over there, that it will make him a star. They still feel that individual needs to have something about them. so that if they give, if they put that person over, if they give them that victory, that they can then do something with it and become a star. And that's why, you know, back in the day, Hogan to a large extent, and even Austin to an extent.
Yeah, well, Austin did it with Lesnar.
He did, that, yeah, that's right.
He walked out because he didn't feel, yeah. He said, you know, I'll put him over, but not now, the time is not right. And he was so adamant that he walked out. So, yeah. You know, the guy's walked that path, hasn't he?
That's right, absolutely.
And he was right as well.
Yeah, and I think Brock learnt from that and has adopted that same mindset. And I've personally got no problem with that. I think it's right that, you know, when individuals do get over in the way that, you know, an Austin or a Lesnar have in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, that they protect their legacies in that kind of way and don't cheapen it by just jobbing to anyone. I mean, there are the odd occasional talents that come along every once in a while that can job to all and sundry and not damage their characters. The Rock is a famous example. I mean, he jobbed quite regularly, in fact, on TV to even the likes of Rhino and the Hurricane, and that didn't certainly impact on his character or his legacy. But for others like Lesnar or a Stone Cold, who are you know, more of a badass type character, then losses to all and sundry can have a kind of adverse impact. So, you know, that's why I've got personally no problem with Brock treating Ambrose in that kind of way in retrospect. At the time, it felt like it wasn't the right thing to do for somebody who's a part-timer to treat a full-time worker who's around week in, week out with such contempt and to give him so little. But, you know, looking back now, you can see why he did that.
Mm. So a final title match that we've got to discuss on the card here, it's the tag team titles, Cesaro and Sheamus defending against the Hardy Boys in a 30-minute Iron Man match. Slightly, obviously, quite unique for tag teams to be having an Iron Man match. I think the Hardys need something because I'm wondering either they're building towards creating this, you know, the Broken Matt and the Brother Nero characters themselves, you know, slowly evolving into that. But I don't know, I've got a feeling that the belts are going to change hands here, maybe because I don't think any of the other titles are going to get switched, that this could be the only title switch we see. What about yourself, Mo? Do you see the title changing hands and the characters involved here and just the quality of match?
Yeah, I agree. I think that of all the title matches on the show, this is the one that's most likely to have a title switch. You know, because I just don't see it with a lot of the other matches. I think Alexa and Sasha is the only other one where it could be a title switch, Sasha winning it. But I think that this is the one that's most likely. I think the Hardy Boys regain the titles. I'm not convinced that this should be a 30-minute Iron Man match. You know, all four individuals are very capable, Cesaro especially. But I think this is one that will live and die by how the match is laid out. If they book it to go, say, 25 minutes without a single four, it could feel quite boring, actually, getting up to that point in time. Whereas if they stagger the falls out, you know, and have it perhaps go down to three all leading to the last couple of minutes, and then the deciding seventh fall going one way or another in those last couple of minutes, it could turn out to be a pretty exciting match. So there's certainly the possibility, maybe even the probability, that it will be a pretty or a very good match. But at the same time, you know, the booking of it could turn it into quite a boring 30 minutes. So that's what I'm certainly hoping for the former. I'm hoping that it's laid out in a sensible way that makes the most of the four individuals and certainly Hardy's limitations. And, you know, it'd be good to see the Hardys go over and win the titles, because on the brand, you know, it's full of heel champions. And I know Cesaro and Sheamus are kind of in that tweener type role, certainly with Sheamus. You know, having at least one set of face champions on the Raw brand would be good. And so that's why I think the Hardys will win.
Yeah, I think Cesaro and Sheamus have been good champions. I do like them together. They certainly work well together. And I fancy a change here, and I do wonder whether that title change will then facilitate the revival coming into the four, and perhaps us having a three-way match at SummerSlam or something like that. So yeah, title change, not only because of the circumstance of the night and everything that's going on, but I think going forward it could be absolutely the right thing to do. So if they book it in the way that you suggested there, with a number of falls, I think we could be in for a really exciting match. So fingers crossed that's what they do. Another match that's been, the storyline has been featured heavily in recent weeks on Raw, and that's Enzo Amore against Big Cass. Now, I've got to say, I didn't like the backstage attacks and all that. I thought it was so hokey, it was terrible. Everything was really, really bad right up until the point where Big Cass got to deliver his promo, and he delivered a couple of promos that were really good, and I think he's handled himself really, really well in that sense. And we know that Enzo Amore can talk. My feeling on this one more is that this has to be a glorified squash match, really, for Cass here. It really has to be, and I just can't see it being anything else.
Yeah, agree again. Whenever Amore's in a singles contest, it is little more than a glorified squash match. He gets some offense in, but very rarely wins. And if it is a victory, it's normally a fluke or some outside interference or something of that nature. I just don't think that they see him as a credible singles act, despite his clear ability on the mic. I think they've got plans for Big Cass, and those big plans will have to start with a victory here. So anything other than defeat for Amore, then I'll be shocked. As for the match itself, I'm not expecting big things in terms of quality. I'd be absolutely stunned if it's the match of the night. More likely to be the worst match of the show. It's a parting of ways. I've not got any real problem with the split between the two. Clearly, Cass is somebody that they've had an eye on in terms of a more prominent role ever since he came onto the main roster, in fact. So, if they feel that now is the time to pull the trigger, then so be it. It'll help to fill out the show. It's something a bit different, and it'll just be another match. Cass almost certainly is going to win this.
Yeah, he absolutely has to. And for me, I'll be surprised if it goes more than 5 minutes. And we maybe see like a 30 to 60 second comeback from Enzo, get a little bit of a comeback in there, get the crowd up, and then let Cass just squash him. And just so Cass can keep that heat as much as anything, it makes absolute sense, keeps him hot and ready for him to move on for the next stage in his career. And it'll be interesting to see what they do, because, like you said, he's got something and they seem to see something in him. So let's see where that one goes. So final match of the night, the final match that we've got to talk about. Now, we've purposely left this one to the end because, as you alluded to, the rumours are abound that Lesnar is keeping the title, and he will be either facing the winner of this ambulance match, and I've got to say I really don't like ambulance matches, but I hate the gimmick. But this the match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, Lesnar's going to face either the winner of this match or potentially both of them at SummerSlam. And more... the crowd are loving Braun Strowman. They just love it. And I think it's not just that he's the guy that keeps beating up Roman Reigns, but there's just something about his character that the fans have gravitated towards.
Yeah, that's right. I think it certainly helps him. Also, the fact that a fair bit of the last several months, he's been the main adversary to Roman Reigns when they've both been around and available. It's been a bit of a stop-start feud with injuries and whatnot. But yeah, that certainly helped. And also, you know, Strowman's that kind of throwback character to the WWE's almost pre-Attitude Era days, you know, almost 80s style, where, you know, he's this big, huge monster, wouldn't have been out of place in 80s WWF. And, you know, he's surrounded by a sea of, as Hulk Hogan used to say, vanilla midgets. And, you know, so that kind of helps him to stand out even more. And, you know, he doesn't try and be something he isn't. He's, you know, a power guy, a big guy. He's not a technical wrestler. He just
he's improved, though.
Stick to what you're
good. Because I thought he was, I've got to say, in his early work, certainly with the Wyatts, he was absolutely dreadful. But he's really come along, you know, to the point where he's capable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he is, obviously there's something in there. His attitude has got to be spot on behind the scenes. He's got to be working really hard because he's improved at quite a rate. And his promos are good. I mean, they're just the way he delivers the promos. They're believable. And that is something, you know, no matter how ridiculous or outlandish the character or what he's saying sometimes, you know, that it is a kind of that 80s throwback, that it is so over the top. It's believable the way he presents it. And that, you know, that's like it. That's the magic dust.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's larger than life, which is something you can't accuse a lot of WWE talents of. And that also certainly helps him. And, you know, he's unashamedly Braun Strowman. You know, he's not, you know, this is a company that's now increasingly filling up with people who are great in the ring, but in terms of other aspects of their characters, perhaps are slightly deficient, you know, but you know, Braun Strowman is that kind of throwback to an era when the WWE certainly didn't care as much about, you know, talents being so good from bell to bell. And as I say, the fact that he's against Reigns certainly doesn't harm the kind of reactions that Strowman is getting. I mean, the match itself, I think, won't be match of the night. At the same time, I think that this is one of these contests that they will try to you know, surround with the bells and whistles, and you can do that to an extent with an ambulance match. So I think we'll see some two or three pretty cool, innovative type of spots during the contest. But, you know, the finish of it really depends on where they want to go with SummerSlam. I mean, the talk in the last week and a half has been that they're leaning towards a singles match between Roman and Brock for the SummerSlam. And if that's the case, then clearly the winner would have to be Roman. Whereas if, as you mentioned, they lean towards a three-way, then it might be either Braun, you know, winning it, or schmoz finish, which would be some kind of, I don't know, disqualification or some other kind of screw
both,
job.
Like both guys end up in the ambulance, or it would be difficult to do. But I think the fact that we've got Joe and Lesnar, you know, who are undoubtedly going to be closing the card, I think they actually could get away with doing a schmoz finish somewhere in the card with this.
Yeah, that's right. It's certainly a lot more easier to get away with on the undercard than it is on the main event of the show or any show. So that's possible. But the other possibility is also that even if one of the two was to win with the intention of still going ahead with a three-way, that that loser from that contest between Reigns and Strowman could then still redeem themselves the next night on Raw to bring them back into that title picture involving Brock. So there's a number of different permutations that could play out here, but I would certainly expect it to be a spectacle, you know, if not a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, it certainly should be interesting, and in its own way can be entertaining. I'm just looking forward to the reaction of the live crowd of both guys coming out. I must admit, I just have a chuckle at the reaction to Roman Reigns and clearly Vince McMahon in the earpiece to the commentary team, kind of putting across to them a bit of a mixed reaction here.
Well, that's right. You know, in the old days, when it was these types of reactions were only taking place in a couple of towns, usually Philadelphia or Toronto. Now they were able to pull out the Bizarro World kind of line. But this happens every single week, irrespective of where they are. So you know, that kind of line just doesn't work anymore. And, you know, it's something that will carry on until they decide to address the issue head on rather than try and pretend that it, you know, it exists and hope that it just goes away as a problem. It clearly is a problem because they want Roman Reigns to be the new face of the company and they want him to be the most popular guy on the roster. And he's far from that at the moment. And until they change the way he's booked, there's no signs that booing and those negative reactions will stop anytime soon.
No, I think there's money in him being the most hated guy on the roster, legitimately. I think there's money in that. And then, organically, he can become the most loved guy. He can be the most popular. But I just see stubbornness in it, really, as much as anything. I just see there's a stubborn side to it, you know, that we will not be dictated to. We'll do what we want when we want, and you will enjoy it.
That's it. I mean, it's strange though, because I mean, they've got a great lesson from, you know, the Rock, from about 20 years ago when they were giving him this big push when he was very green and shoving him down people's throats. And, you know, that's what started the whole die Rocky die chance. And, you know, rather than persist with him as a face, they accepted it and turned him heel. And, you know, really found himself as a heel, and the crowd reacted much better towards him. And that's when they decided to turn him face. And it just shocks me that they don't feel that they should learn the lesson from that and sometimes turn people to only then bring them back to being face to get the kind of reactions that they desire. And they never did that with John Cena. And, you know, that kind of negative reaction towards Cena still hasn't gone away. I mean, it's not quite as bad as it used to be, say, 4, 5, 6 years ago, but it's still there.
Yeah.
He still gets mixed reactions at TV shows. But, you know, in terms of those vociferous negative reactions, it's now Reigns that is getting him. And, you know, it's just surprising that they choose not to learn the lessons of the past to try and resolve what is clearly, as I say, a problem.
Yeah, it's just there's an opportunity there, and it'll be interesting anyway. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, in a way, I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view, despite the ridiculous name. Maybe not so much for match quality, but just story involvement, just to see intrigue as much as anything, I think, just to kind of see what happens, and possibly really as much as anything, because it's all part of shaping SummerSlam, which is, you know, is a huge event, isn't it?
Well, it's a 6-hour show,
oh,
I think.
God, not another one of them.
Because the pay-per-view last year was 4 hours, so I suspect it'll be 4 hours again this year. And then there's every chance, if that's 4 hours, that they'll go 2 hours on the pre-show. So that would then end up being a 10 or 11 match card. And
sponsored, you know, by Red Bull and Monster.
That's right, and absolutely, and one or two other substances, and you know, it'll be a real all-nighter, and you know, to get people interested and up for it, you know, they've got to really deliver the goods and come up with some intriguing, exciting matches and shows, and that's why you're quite right. You know, the storyline aspect of this is all important, because you know, this will be the show that will certainly pave the way for the biggest stories and angles going into SummerSlam, that will help with the build on Raw over the coming weeks. So they've really got a hit home run from a storyline perspective with this show.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be here next week to run through it all and give you our thoughts. And look back on everything that had happened before that. More, whereabouts can fans find you? How can they find you?
So those that aren't aware, I can be found on Twitter. I don't tweet anywhere near as often as I should, but it's at Mo Chatra. I'm also writing once again, writing for Total Wrestling Magazine. The next issue, which is out in the next week or two, has an article about star ratings. So star ratings, or ratings more generally, can be found for all types of things, not just wrestling matches, but they've been a big topic of discussion within the wrestling Twitter stratosphere, and so I've written an article about that. And then in the coming few months, I'm looking to move on to writing a series of articles looking at the life of wrestlers from the perspective of wrestlers, covering some quite difficult subjects, and one or two that might even be classed as taboo. So really looking forward to starting work on those as well. So that's where people can find me. How about yourself, Andy?
I could say more. That sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to that. And just for anyone out there, if just in case you're not following more or anything like that, the at @PW_index Twitter account, that is the Pro Wrestling Index Twitter account, we will retweet those articles as well, just in case you do miss them. Myself, I'm on Twitter at Andy Armchair, if you ever feel like following me. And if you're of the footballing persuasion, of the Liverpool side of that footballing persuasion, I do write from time to time on Anfield Index, and my latest one was just on identifying transfer window targets, and we won't go into any of that on this show because some people are just not into it. And if you are into it, you're probably sick to the back teeth of hearing all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's where you'll.
And the window's only just opened as well.
Yeah. God, slam the damn thing shut. Anyway, Mo, thanks for joining us. It was good for us to be back together again. Looking forward to next week already.
Oh, indeed, yeah. Looking forward to it. Running down great balls of. I'll never get used to saying that name.
Great. What were they? Balls thinking? Of fire.
Looking forward to running through that card and looking ahead, obviously with whatever comes out of TV as well, which will set the scene for the coming weeks leading up to SummerSlam. So, plenty to talk about next week, I'm sure.
Yes, I might even crack a song in there. You never know. But that wraps, maybe or maybe not. But that wraps things up for this week's Pro Wrestling Index here on the AI Podcast channel. Like I said, don't forget, you know, you can keep in touch with us on Twitter. It's at @PW_index. Feel free to get in touch with us. Your thoughts and opinions on all things this show, questions you have for us, your thoughts about Great Balls of Fire, your predictions, anything, whatever you want. Do keep an eye on that account. We will tweet out some polls over the weekend just for a bit of fun leading into that event. And like I said, we will be back here next week to run down everything that takes place there. So as always, Obviously, I want to thank Mochatra for joining me. And we want to thank all of you, the listeners, for hitting that download button and joining us each and every week. We really do appreciate that. But until next week, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.